When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You push me, I don't have the strength to resist or control you, so take me down.
Hello, and welcome to the Jillian Michaels Show.
You're all full of, oh, that was me. Sorry, you didn't say me.
So no, I didn't say you on purpose, and I see you had to jump in because you knew I wasn't going to say you. I was testing you.
Oh, yeah. No, you're very, bright and fluffy today. What's up? You must have had a good weekend.
Did you just call me fluffy?
You look kind of fluffy.
I'm so offended.
No.
Fluffy. What? Are you calling me fat? Are you calling me?
No, I mean, you're
gay?
You're very full of you got light in your eyes. Sometimes you're a little tired. That's all I'm saying.
What?
No, sometimes I know you've been working hard or you've been traveling, but it looks like you've had a little...
So you think I'm fluffy?
You're a little fluffy.
Funny. That's funny. Because our topic isn't fluffy. It's very manly, our topic that we're opening up with.
Oh, really?
But protein.
Oh, sorry.
That's... I feel like, why is this that men like to talk about this topic more, I think, than women? Protein.
Because I think women are afraid of protein. Because we think protein means cheese and fat ass.
What, protein? No, protein means lean, ripped abs. Protein, lean.
But some
sinewy. Yeah. No, Cheetos mean cheese and fat ass. Cheetos, cheese, fat ass. That's what that means.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah, no, you're all wrong.
Well, then explain,
please. I thought maybe women were a little intimidated about protein because they think it means, like, well, bulk up.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, like it means you're going to get big. Like,
you can't get big unless you're eating massive quantities of protein and lifting extremely heavy weights. And you need to have a huge calorie surplus, especially as a female, to get big. It's such a misconception. Women think it's like, oh, I worked out and now I'm thick. It's like, no, dude. You might work out one day and you might be swollen because you worked out, and 2 days later you'll fit in your jeans again. But it has nothing to do with protein. It's such a misconception. I get a little... Everyone's vegan city nowadays.
Oh, totally.
And I'm going to piss off those vegans again right now. They're going to go on my Facebook page and start raging.
Oh, do they get mad at you?
Oh, my God. They get so mad. And it's like, I get it. I really do. I mean, I get it. I am the consummate animal lover. But the reality is, I think there is a way to consume meat that is ethical and responsible and healthy. We are omnivores. Our bodies need protein. And I know that we're going to have that. And I've had this conversation because I play the game. I do it for my vegans. And it's the nuts, protein, the nuts, beans, peas, hemp, protein conversation. But the reality is that, first of all, they're not complete proteins. You'd have to combine the right grains, the right nuts, the right beans to form a complete protein. And most people don't have
the knowledge of how to combine those foods to form a complete protein, nor do they have the time to sit there and go, I took a little bit of quinoa with 5 black beans and I waited until right. the sun was at the northmost point in the sky. And I put it, I mean, it's like, you know, we don't have time to do that. And it, not only that, we would need to consume 20 to 25% more plant-based protein to reap the benefits that animal sources derive for us. So I'm just saying, here's the deal. We are built as omnivores. There's a reason that our digestive tract, our teeth are built a certain way. So let's talk. I also think there's a lot of misconception about protein and how much of it we need. Now, the recommended daily intake for protein is only 56 grams. You realize that if protein is 4 calories a gram, and they're saying have 56 grams, that's 224 calories of protein a day. That's maybe a chicken breast. Maybe. How a man, a grown man, is going to subsist on that much protein? I mean, like everything else that was, you know, outdated by those, the FDA standards. Or was that FDA? I can't even know who does the recommended daily allowance. Who does that crap?
I think.
Well, they're wrong.
No, the food and drug.
The FDA is the FDA.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
All right. Whatever. That is not enough protein. And again, all of these current studies are starting to come out suggesting that we do need more protein, whether you're losing weight or whether you're living an active, healthy lifestyle to maintain your muscle mass. Animal protein creates something called protein synthesis. And basically, this process allows us to maintain our muscle because, believe it or not, the rest of the day you're in a breakdown period unless you've eaten protein synthesis. And when you look at your body, your skin, your bones, your hair, your nails, all this is protein. We need protein. We need complete proteins to complete the process of protein synthesis. So there are also people that say, okay, we need, you know, for every pound of body weight, you need a gram of protein. That's kind of a lot. So when you look at the studies, they did a study at the, I always like to say, so people can do the research themselves on the study, but they had a guy named Mark Tonopolowski, who's an MD and a PhD, and he studies exercise nutrition at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ohio. And basically, he did a whole study on elite athletes, and he tested them on, you know, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, you know, 0.55 grams. And what he discovered is that they performed best, and they had the leanest body composition on 0.77 grams of protein per body weight. And that really breaks down to about 139 grams for a 180-pound guy. That's the number. But he also suggested that if you're not an elite athlete, if you're not training constantly, because those guys constantly need to replenish the protein because the constant exercise is breaking down the muscles. They have to always calorie partition. They have to send nutrients back to the muscles. He said that if you're just a regular Joe who's working out about 4 to 5 times a week, the study suggested that 0.55 grams per pound of body weight is the way to go for women and men. Which if you're, you know, if you're a 180-pound guy, then you're somewhere, I think you're like, what, 70? What's? No, 90. Okay, so it's about 100 grams of protein. 100 or so grams of protein for a 180-pound guy, which equals around 400 calories of protein. And that's your minimum. That's where you should be at minimally. Now, again, protein is not all created equal, as I was saying earlier. And animal protein is a complete protein. It has all of the right proportions of the essential amino acids that our body needs that we can't synthesize on our own. Amino acids are critical for our overall health. And things like the beans and the nuts and the this and the that, it's very difficult to get all of those amino acids in. Which is one of the reasons that, like, when I did a protein powder, I chose whey protein powder because it's the most highly digestible form of protein, and it has a lot of casein in it and a lot of leucine. Thank you. An amino acid called leucine that actually functions almost like a hormone in helping maintain protein synthesis. So you've got to think that if these forms of protein are not created equal, there's a reason. There's a reason that we need to be eating animal protein. So a good protein supplement, the best is going to be whey.
Really? I take hemp and rice.
I know, because you're a big old girl, but I'm just saying whey is... Hemp is a great protein. I advocate it all the time. My friend Marco has a bar that I love, this 22-day bar, and it's a vegan bar, and it's all hemp protein, and hemp is great. It's a good source of protein, but every single study that you read,
is whey.
Every single one, whey protein, whey protein, whey protein, whey protein.
Obviously, high quality whey protein, but it has, it's just our bodies break it down within 15 minutes. It's easily absorbed into our bodies. It has all of these healthy amino acids in it that hemp protein isn't going to have.
Right.
If you're searching for a powder, I'm just saying, again, I get it. If you're vegan, go for hemp. I understand. Don't avoid soy at all costs, which I think we've all heard me say. But go for whey. And the other thing about protein is don't concentrate it into one meal, because protein synthesis happens for 3 hours after you eat protein. So what you want to do is make sure that you're getting a little protein at breakfast, at lunch, and at dinner. Now, if you're trying to lose weight, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to cut back and I want to cut back on my calories. I want to cut back. You want to make sure that you don't sacrifice protein. If you're trying to lose weight, actually, the number that's suggested is 0.68 grams per pound of body weight when you're going for weight loss. Because again, we want to maintain that muscle when you're losing weight. It's really easy for the body to lose weight, not fat, but weight. We can lose muscle while we're losing weight. And that's why it's important that you maintain your resistance training and still get enough protein so you don't sacrifice your muscle. Incredibly important. And that hour after you work out, they call it the golden hour. This is when your muscles respond or primed to respond the most to protein synthesis, to taking in protein. The recommendation is to get about 20 grams of protein in around your workout. And again, this recent study just came out that I read, and it was in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it said 20 grams was the best amount. And I wouldn't bring this up to you if these were isolated incidents. These are studies that I have, multiple studies, results of studies that I've read over and over and over again. So I've just pulled out one for you so you can look it up. But the suggestion is 20 grams of protein is the best after a workout. But now they're saying to do 10 grams before the workout and 10 grams after. So 30 minutes before you do 10 grams of the protein, and then within the 30 minutes after you've trained, you do 10 grams of protein, making 20 grams of protein. Best to help your muscles rebuild and repair.
Yeah, I do mine all in one shot. That's bad.
It's not bad.
But I know.
It's just not ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am feeling fluffy today because I would have jumped on you saying bad. I would have been like, you are bad. You're a terrible person. But instead, I like...
See, you're happy. You're happy.
I don't know that I'm happy. I don't know that I'm ever happy.
No, but you're more accepting of me today,
well,
it feels like, so far.
Maybe I am just tired. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're just tired. All right. Well,
I'm sorry. I've slowed you down.
Oh, and here's another little factoid for you.
Okay.
And I'll end on this note. Studies have shown that people who start the day with a protein-rich breakfast consume 200 fewer calories a day. Again, they say that the amino acids, it helps to dull hunger and make you feel fuller for longer. It's harder to break down in the system. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense when I have my big old smoothie in the morning. My big old belly smoothie. Mm-mm. With my powder in it.
Why are you
talking
like Mike? What's his name? What's that guy's name? Like, what's that guy? Mike Myers. And he had that, like, get in my belly.
Oh, yeah. No,
remember that?
That was the big fat bastard, wasn't it?
Yeah. Why are you talking like big fat bastard today?
Well, I don't know, because I've been doing this protein shake, the smoothie.
So it makes you talk like big fat bastard?
Makes you talk like big fat bastard. That's exactly what it does.
Remind me never to do hemp protein. Ever. Not ready.
Okay, we're going to take some calls today.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we could get to them sooner if you want.
I'm excited. I've been getting a lot of requests for calls. Let's give the people what they want.
All right, we'll give the people what they want.
Good.
Yeah, cool. All right, we'll get to calls after this.
Less of you, more calls. Hey, Annie, are you okay? You don't know why CPR says, hey, Annie, are you okay? Because this is the sad thing. The guy who created CPR lost his daughter in a drowning accident. Her name is Annie.
No.
I swear to you.
We were just talking during our breather that I was telling Jillian.
I was saying to Janice, I did not want to go to calls yet because
I wanted to do
a little quick thing on CPR. And the reason is because this woman was on the news the other night, and she had saved her son's life performing CPR on him. And when they said, where did you learn CPR? She said, I learned it on the doctors. And so, of course, my bosses on the doctors were over the moon. They were so happy because they felt like, you know, they'd been this. Learned it off the doctors. Learned it off my boys and my Dr. Masterson.
Wow.
So they were like really, you know, they were super proud of themselves and the show. And they were like, would you put this up? Look how cool this is on your Facebook. And I was like, of course I will. But then it got me to thinking that maybe I should really recommend. Everyone should know this. It's not hard to do.
Oh, no.
And then Janice started saying, of course, that she was a CPR expert.
Well, no, I got my ticket.
Started screaming, hey, Annie, are you okay?
That's what you do. Annie's lying there. And you go, hey, Annie, are you, when you practice, when you're in real life, if it's someone's down, you don't call them Annie. You say, you know,
yeah.
But you yell. You yell. And what then you point to people. You in the blue, go call 911. You, lady in the red skirt, you go get something. And you point and designate.
Delegate.
That's what I said. But anyway,
absolutely right. The first step is to call 911.
Yeah.
So?
And point to the person.
Yeah.
So they know it's them. I'm in the blue.
You,
man in the blue, call 911.
And then, hey, Annie, are you okay?
Well, then you say, then you, because you don't know. Maybe they're just having a nap in the middle of the store on the floor.
Yes,
you know what I mean? You never know.
Right?
Highly unlikely, but.
But exactly. Okay. So, again, I thought we might just run through a few basics. Now, Janice, if you feel the need to jump in.
Well, I'm ready now.
You let me know. Okay. So. After you've delegated and you've got everybody calling 911 and what have you, you want to make sure that you position your victim face up on the floor or the ground and kneel beside them, beside their chest, face up. Seems obvious enough, but I swear to you, it's like the little things that you don't mention.
No kidding.
Little things you don't mention. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to interlace your fingers and you're going to place the palm of your top hand on the back of your bottom hand, and you put your hands on the center of the person's chest. Okay, so the bottom hand, you've got the heel of your palm on the center of their chest, top fingers over interlocked, and then the palm of your top hand is on the back of your front hand. Does that make sense? Are we following me?
Mm-hmm.
People are like moving their hands around Okay, now straighten your arms. Make sure that your arms are straightened. Very important. And you want your shoulders directly above the victim's chest so you can generate maximum force. So you don't want to be coming from at an angle here. Get right over them, right above them, right on top of them. And you want to push down real hard. Real hard. Because essentially, you're pumping their blood for them. It's not easy. It requires a tremendous amount of strength and force. Because I had to get my CPR certification for training. And it's just like...
It's exhausting.
It's actually exhausting, believe it or not. And you kind of feel weird like you're going to hurt them. But the reality is this. You might break their ribs. That's absolutely true. You might actually break their ribs. But they'll live.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
we'd rather them have a broken rib... but still be alive. That's real important. And after each compression, you want to lift your hands completely off their chest so you can rest for another powerful push because you really want to get that whole, you're really going to get in there. That's what you're searching. You following me, Jay?
Yeah, I'm here.
You feeling good about it? Okay, and you want to aim for about 100 to 110 compressions a minute. So it's almost 2 compressions a second. So it's like, boom, boom, boom. How's that? Did I set the pace?
Yeah, but you could go a little faster, I think, sometimes. You were actually doing 1 per second. You were boom, boom. Where I think it's like boom, 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 boom.
Oh, is that how it goes?
Yeah.
And with
the baby, it's very gentle.
Yes, well, that's
a different story.
That's a whole different story.
But no, you're right.
I set the rhythm bad.
No,
110. Almost 2 per second.
It could be a little faster. Yeah.
Oh, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah,
you feel good about that? Okay, good. And you don't have to growl, though.
No growling.
While you're doing
it. You count, though. Count. It's very good to count out loud. 1, 2, 3.
Yes. And another thing that you should do is get someone to help you because it's so tiring. So if you need a rest, have somebody ready to go. So, for example, you'd be in the best possible scenario if Janice and I were there.
Look what you'd have.
I mean, we would just be like, boom, boom, boom. Janice, go. Boom, boom, boom. Go. Boom, boom, boom. So, again, if you can, recruit somebody to do little intervals with you. Think of it as like it's that tiring, actually. Like, it's like a little interval. You run your interval. They run their interval. Yeah. So, and then you just work at it until the EMTs show up or until they regain consciousness. There we go.
However, yeah. It is really cool. It doesn't take a lot of time. Sometimes they're weekend courses just to get your CPR ticket. They offer them all over the place through whatever ambulance, whatever community you're in.
Whatever ambulance you're in?
Well, there's like...
Whatever ambulance you happen to find.
No, like there's St. John's Abbott. I don't know if they have... there's different companies. Not companies, but you know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Places, community colleges.
Ambulances.
Night school.
Yes.
Have courses
in CPR. I agree. I highly recommend it, especially if you have kids.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that's all. We wanted to say that. Now we're going to take calls.
Yeah. Oh, I'm all excited now. So we have Emily waiting on the line.
Oh, hello, Emily.
Hi, Jillian. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Oh, I had a question about your book, Unlimited, about forgiveness and letting go of the past when the person's gone.
Oh, boy.
And
tell me, what's the specific situation?
It was my best friend. She passed away almost 4 years ago.
Oh, God, I'm
now,
sorry,
of a massive heart attack at 34.
Oh, jeez. How awful.
And I'm angry that she didn't take better care of herself. She smoked. She drank. She ate fried food. She did everything they told her pretty much not to do. Mm. I don't know how do you move forward, you know, from just being able to let it go. And she's gone. I mean, I'm over the fact that she's gone now. Like, I've accepted that fact. But I just can't get over the fact that she didn't have to be.
I don't think you're... Okay, first of all, I don't think you're over it at all, nor do I expect you to ever be over it. You know, the one thing with death, it's sort of the one thing that's never okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can lose jobs, we can have breakups, we can get injured, but I can always look at somebody in that situation and go, you know what? It's going to be okay because it's going to pass. It's going to heal. It's going to be okay. The thing with death is it's permanent. It's never going to be okay. It's never okay. The pain gets better with time. Sure. We can heal. We can function, but it's never okay. And it's nothing that I think we ever get over. I think this is why you see people, you know, with tattoos of their father's initials who passed away, or, you know, I have a tattoo with a picture of my grandmother on my foot that I got when I was 20 that my mother loves to humiliate me over.
A butterfly on my back.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I think it's because it's like we memorialize them, we hold on to them because we're never over it, and nor should we be. I think it's about functioning and being healthy, but I don't necessarily believe it's about getting over it. But so what you're saying right now is that you're having a hard time. I think what you're doing is you're having a hard time letting go of her because you're in fact not over it, and you're furious that you are having to deal with these feelings of abandonment and pain and loss, which is making you angry because I've said it over and over. Anger is just a cover for pain. It's a defense mechanism against pain, and you're feeling like how do I resolve this within myself? Am I right?
Yeah, and I have the guilt, you know, she died in my arms.
Oh, God. Awful.
You know, we did CPR. We couldn't bring her back. I didn't encourage her. I smoked with her. I drank with her. I went out to eat with her. I didn't. So I have the guilt that I should have done more. Like, if I went to panic for the 20 seconds after she fell, maybe I could have saved her.
I think you're actually missing the whole point. So you smoked, you drank, and you ate like crap with her. What do you do now?
I've just recently have started working out again. You know, I gained about 80 pounds after she passed away.
Mm.
Just in the last few months, I've lost 40 pounds.
Mm.
Now I have, you know, another 40 to go.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to change my life around. I do still smoke.
You're missing the point. When you talk about reading Unlimited, have you read the book?
Yes.
And what do I tell you to do when you experience a tragedy? What is the number one thing you need to do?
I don't know.
You're not really reading that book then. Because the number one thing you need to do is find a meaning in it. You need to give it a meaning. And your friend dying from smoking and drinking and eating crap, the meaning that you bring to that is that you now need to stop doing those things so that you can live a healthy, happy life. You can give your friend's death a meaning by allowing it to catalyze you to live better, to live longer, and to make the necessary contributions that you need to make into the world. If I was you, I would look at it almost as though it was her last final parting gift to you to say, look at this. Look what this does. I hear a kid in the background. Are you a mom?
Yes, it's my daughter.
Yeah. Was your friend a mom?
Yeah, she had three kids.
She had three kids. How are they doing without her?
Not well.
Okay. So if I was you, I would look at this as though, you know, we went down this path, she passed away, and I would take it as sort of her last lesson to you of, hey, guess what? You better change your ways because this is going to happen to you. And you also have a kid. And that's the meaning that you bring to her death. And that's how you move through these kinds of tragedies, is you give them a meaning and a reason for happening. And if it changes you, if it catalyzes you to quit smoking, quit drinking, start eating right, then you know something? It was worth it in the sickest, most disgusting, sad way. It had a meaning. But if she just dies to die, then that is a true tragedy. If she just dies and you keep going and you follow in her footsteps, then you know what? It was for nothing. It was for nothing. And it has no meaning.
Okay.
Are you hearing me?
I hear you. I've been trying to quit smoking and it's hard.
And?
I can say. I want to
so what? I don't give you...
I want the help. I can't.
It's hard.
It's hard.
So? What's your point? What's your point?
I've been trying.
No, don't try. Trying is planning to fail. What is your point? It's hard. So? Was childbirth hard?
Yeah.
Was losing your friend hard?
Yes.
Okay. So what? Have you lived through things that are hard?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you strong enough to accomplish something that's hard?
Yes.
Then don't tell me it's hard. I don't give a shit that it's hard. Life is hard. Building a business, that's hard. You know, making a living, that's hard. Being a mom, that's hard. You do all those things, you earn a living in this economy, not easy. You're a mom, that's not easy. You know, I'm sure you've done a lot of things in your life that have been hard.
Yeah.
So if you want to continue to live in this direction, you see where it goes. You've seen where it goes. To death, basically, 6 feet under. That's where it goes. And you've got kids, maybe? Kid?
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's one that needs you. That's one that needs you. Bad. You're all she's got.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you right now that if you who you're really pissed at is yourself. You have nothing to feel guilty for, except for the fact that you're slowly killing yourself. That, you know what? That's a bummer. Guilt, not really the greatest emotion, serves no purpose, which you should know if you're really reading that book that I wrote. You should let it go, and you should make a decision to change, because you don't want your friend's death to be in vain, and because you have a kid that's counting on you. And you use those things until you believe that you're worth happiness, that you deserve health and happiness, because you obviously don't have the self-esteem to buy into that right now. But what I do with people who are like you is I get them to do it for others in the beginning, because that's I manipulate you with your own codependency. So you do it for your kid right now. And then as you begin to do it and you have successes and achievements like losing 40 pounds, you're going to start to really believe in yourself. Your confidence is going to come up. You're going to want more, and you're going to know that you can achieve more.
Yeah.
But right now, you do it for that little girl, and you do it so that your friend didn't die in vain. And don't tell me that it's hard. Life is hard.
I know.
But what is the alternative? Do you think dying is hard? Do you think orphaning your child is hard?
You're right.
So I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you go buy the patch today. I don't give a crap what it is. You set up an exercise regimen right now. In fact, I will have Janice get your information. I will sign you up for a membership on JillianMichaels.com. I will send you my workout videos. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to call me back in a month when I say I need calls for my podcast. You're going to call me back in a month, and you're going to tell me exactly what you've been doing.
Okay. I don't want to hear it. I do try. You know, I've been doing
No try. No trying. Do. Don't try. There is no try.
I'm doing.
Don't say try. Just do it.
I'm doing.
You do it. Quit smoking today. Do the workouts. Okay. And be careful of what you're eating. And I want to hear that you've quit smoking in 4 weeks and you've lost 20 pounds or 10 or whatever. More.
Yeah.
You've lost 40.
Hopefully
keep
more.
Going. I'm not kidding. Do you hear me?
I'm not. Call you back in a month and I will tell you that I am done. I am done smoking.
I will find out too. Don't you think I won't? I will send a personal investigator out there. I will ruin your life if you're still smoking.
I know. I'm scared of you. Don't worry.
And you should be. I am a crazy bitch.
I know. Actually, I'm the one that tweeted you about my daughter calling you a crazy bitch at church. So
well, there you go. See? Out of the mouths of babes.
Yes.
Janice is hysterical laughing.
I know. Actually, I do. I bought the patch. I have not tried it yet.
Well, try it today. Get going.
I will put it on today. I will try.
Great.
I will do it.
I'll speak to you in a month.
I will do it.
Yeah, you don't try. Eradicate. Lose the word try. Get it out of your vernacular.
Yeah. I will do it today.
Good. You're doing it right now. It's done. Fantastic. You've quit smoking. Congratulations. How does it feel? Go throw all your cigarettes away and slap a patch on your arm.
Give me an hour. I might not feel so great.
I don't give a crap. You're going to feel great knowing that you're being proactive. Go do it.
Yeah. It's just, like you said, I'm worried about my daughter. I want to be here for her and.
Super.
I don't want to leave her like my friend, you know, left her kids.
I think that's a good idea. Go and do it now.
Okay.
All right.
I will go and do it.
I'll talk to you in a month.
All right, thank you, Jillian.
Keep track of her.
I will.
That little brat go. In a month, you call this bitch up and you tell her that we are on the line. All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Love you.
Love you,
bye,
too.
Bye, Emily. I had to go hard on her. I needed to give her a good smacking around, I think.
No, it was good. It was good. You know what? I looked over at Mark. Mark and I looked at each other at the same time when she said that her daughter yelled out that you're what was
crazy
it a
bitch bad,
crazy
church.
Bitch in church. I must admit, I would have loved to have investigated that, but maybe when I phone Emily back to get her info, we can find out.
Yeah.
Why she testified that in church?
I would be curious to know.
I'd be curious. Too.
Smart kid.
I know.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. Well, maybe we can squeeze in another call.
All right, buddy. Zoo time, is she a new time? The mamas are your favorite time in your winter tonight. Heartbeat, increasing heartbeat. You feel the thunder is to beating miners, elephants and tacky tigers. This time they'd be big enough for the both of us. Then it ain't me that's gonna leave. All right, so Meredith is waiting for you. Meredith, what's going on?
I am freaking out because first I got to talk to Janice and now I'm talking to you and this is like the best day ever. So thank you so much.
Oh,
because
thank you.
I just woke up with my boyfriend and I've been miserable and
aww.
This is the light at the end of the tunnel for me, Jillian. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, honey, well, thank you for calling. You know, you said something. You said, at first I got to talk to Janice, as though that mattered.
It does matter. I love Janice. I love her little accent, and I love your repartee, and the podcast always makes me giggle. So it's been great.
Wait a minute, Meredith, hang on. You just said, you just see what you said to Meredith. Like, you just talked to Janice like she mattered.
As though it matters.
Is you know what, Meredith? Look what I deal with here.
You're just a facilitator.
Oh, I'm the star.
The best relationship. You guys are like each other's work wives. It's amazing.
I'm just saying. It's like,
bless your heart. You've just made my day.
No, Meredith, now you've
you.
Got the real deal on the phone. Not just Janice. But
I
anyway,
know. She was like the appetizer, and you're the main course.
Well, I don't even know if we give her that much. Maybe she's just the maitre d'.
Talk to
me. Fine, I'm Meredith. I'm ready. Talk to me. What's your problem?
Okay, so here's my question. I'm a workout fanatic. Because of you, you've changed the way that I view exercise completely. But I do feel very overwhelmed because there's so many choices out there, and there's so many different things
to do. I'm not particularly overweight. I'm 5'1". I weigh about 110 pounds. But I would like to firm up, you know, the squishy parts.
Okay.
And I'm doing boot camp. Sometimes I do Zumba. But then I feel like I'm never doing enough. Like, when is it enough? You know, like, I don't do yoga, and then I feel guilty about that.
Wait, whoa.
I just don't know what I should be doing.
Wait. Hold on. So we're in good shape, but you want to be in crazy shape.
Yeah, I want to be, well, in my next life, I'm going to come back and look like you.
In your next life. Well, first of all, you could do it in this life, just to be clear.
Okay, that's good.
And now then, the issue is, I'm confused, is the issue that you're not achieving the results you want, or is the issue that you just are an overachiever and you feel like you're not doing enough, or is it both
Maybe
of those things?
Maybe a little bit of both. I mean, it's hard for me to put on muscle. I'm not saying I need to be, you know, big, buff, and muscular, but I'm petite, but I would like to have more muscle than fat on my body.
You want to be leaner. Okay, do you know what your body fat percentage is?
It was about 24.
Okay, yeah, I can see it. I'd like to see you around 19 if you're in, that's great shape, by the way.
Like, I would like to be at 19 as well.
That's real good shape out there. All right, so tell me again, forgive me, how much do we weigh again?
110 pounds.
Oh, you're teeny. Okay, and how tall are you?
5'1".
Okay. You're actually, I mean, you're like the same as me. I mean, I'm...
Yeah, but you don't have any squishy parts. You have like
the road to paradise on the side.
You know what I'm talking about. You look amazing.
But honey, hold on. Here's what you do not know. I am very, very good at accentuating the parts of my body with the roads of paradise on them. But the back of my ass have the caverns of hell on them. And I do not highlight that. So just to be clear, like, we as women have squishy parts. You don't want to get rid of all your squishy parts, or you'd have no boobs and no butt. And that's no fun. So.
Okay, so how about squishy tummy?
Okay, so here's the thing. You're small. How much? I have a feeling that you might be not eating enough and you might not be eating the right quality foods. How often are you working out?
I work out, I would say, 5 times a week for at least an hour.
Oh,
I do a boot camp. That's
okay,
very
stop.
Cardio,
no,
a lot
there.
Of body
stop.
Weight exercise.
Stop it. Okay, great. So you're I get it. Now, how much are you eating in a day?
It varies from like 1,200 calories.
Okay, stop. Okay, so.
Am I getting in trouble?
I'm just going to teach you.
Okay.
That's all we're going to do. I can't hurt you through the phone. I'm investigating away. I have scientists working on it, but as of right now, you are physically safe.
Okay.
So think of it like this. You're a healthy weight, okay? You're healthy. Your body is like, I'm healthy. I bet that your cholesterol is great. I bet that you check your blood pressure is fabulous. I bet that you don't have any, how's your health, kid?
Great.
There you go. Great. So your body's healthy, okay? It's happy.
Yeah.
It's healthy and it's happy. And you are like, I want you to be thinner. Your body is going, I'm perfectly healthy. Why do you want me to be thinner? If I get any thinner, I'm not going to be healthy. Remember that we, as human beings, women in particular, need to hold on to a certain amount of fat because our body is anticipating a period of famine. It hasn't been that long in our evolutionary process that we've had processed crap food on every corner. Our bodies haven't caught up to that. You know, don't forget that we were hunter-gatherers for thousands and thousands of years. So we are adapted to hold on and store weight for periods of famine. If you start to get lower than a body weight that your body feels comfortable, if you go lower than where it's healthy and comfortable, it's going to slow down your metabolism and it's going to start storing fat. Because right now, if you're eating 1,200 calories in a day, okay, and you're doing boot camp on any given day, so you're 5'1", you're 110 pounds, how old are you?
40.
You're 40. Okay, so you're just a little bit shorter than me and a tiny bit older than me. So I'm going to base you off of my number, okay?
Okay.
My base metabolic rate is 1430, meaning just from my involuntary bodily functions like cells reproducing, hair growing, breathing, things of that nature. If I sat on the couch like a sloth and did nothing, that's what my body burns in a day, 1430. Now, I'm an active person in a day. So I like to think of it as four levels of activity, four being a construction worker, one being, you know, a desk job, a secretary. I'm a three. I'm pretty physically active in my day. So what you would do is you would take a 1 point and then your level. So I'd be 1.3. You multiply that by 1430, and I end up somewhere in the 1700s. What's your activity level?
Well, I'm a teacher during the year, so I'm probably about like a 2.
A 2. Okay. So we go 1.2 times 1,400. I'll put you at 1,400. So ultimately, it's you go 140 and 140 is 270. So I'd say you're 1,670, okay, throughout the course of your day without any exercise.
Okay.
Now, you're going to the gym like a crazy person, and you're doing a boot camp class for an hour, probably burning about 500 calories. But let's undercut it. Let's say 4, because, you know, maybe you've done this class a lot and your body's adapted. Maybe because you're small, it doesn't require that much energy to move your little butt around. So I'll say 400 calories. Now you're going from 1670, you're adding 400 calories on that. Now you're burning 2,070 calories in a day, not including what we call EPOC, exercise post-oxygen consumption, or afterburn, meaning an elevated metabolic rate after your workout, because your body is trying to return, it's trying to recover and return itself to the state it was in before you did the damage that your body considers exercise, considers it damage, literally.
Okay.
So let's presume you're doing 2,200 on a conservative day of calories burned, and your tiny little ass is eating 1,200 calories a day. You've now created a 1,000-calorie deficit in your day, a minimum of 5 times a week. So what is your body going to do with that? You think it's just going to waste away until you disappear into midair, like poof, suddenly you're gone?
No. It's going to store my stomach fat.
What it's going to do is it's going to signal your hormones to slow down so that your metabolism slows down. It's going to release more cortisol, which is a flight or flight hormone. It's a feast or famine hormone. It's a hormone that the body releases during times of famine. And, of course, cortisol is linked to belly fat. Shocker. It's going to slow down the function of your thyroid, because your thyroid is also in control, or plays a big part in your metabolic function. So it's going to make sure that you're releasing less T4 and you're not converting it into active thyroid T3. It's going to slow down your there's 3 conversions in thyroid. You release TSH and it gets converted to T4, then it gets converted to T3. Your body's going to slow that down. It's going to start increasing ghrelin, which is your hunger levels, and decreasing leptin, which makes you feel full. All of these biochemical things are going to happen so that you are now a body fat storing machine.
Oh, great.
So what you need to do, you need to not, now we got to bring you up more gradually, but we don't want you to lose weight. You don't want to lose weight. You want to change your body composition.
Yes, that's
what I
want to do.
So what you have to do is stop creating a calorie deficit and meet in the middle. So if you burn 2,200, you should be eating 2,200. What you're trying to do is your body will then metabolize fat, because it knows that food is coming in regularly, and it will go to what's called calorie partitioning. So it will take the nutrients that you're ingesting, and it will go towards the muscles that you're training for recovery and repair. But you got to do this gradually. So now you're at 1,200. If you just jumped up to 2,200, it wouldn't be a good thing.
Right.
So you're going to do this over, you know, like the next month or so. Every 2 weeks, take your calories up 10% until you end up at 2,000 calories a day. So right now you're at 1,200. So for the next 2 weeks, you're going to eat 1,320. Then 2 weeks go, and then you're going to go up another 10%. So you're going to add another 132 calories to your 1320, and you're going to end up at like 1450.
Then you know, you're really good at math, Jillian.
Yeah?
You're really good at math.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Well, I actually failed math probably innumerable amounts of times, but I've counted calories for so many years that I can add and subtract quickly.
Awesome.
So my point is, every 2 weeks, you go up 10% until you're creating an even balance between what you're burning and what you're eating. Because again, remember, we don't want to lose weight. Your body is healthy. It doesn't want to drop weight. We want to change that body composition. So when you feed it regularly, it's going to start gradually picking up your metabolism again. It's going to start releasing HGH. It's going to start picking up thyroid hormone. It's going to start inhibiting cortisol. Your whole biochemistry is going to change, because your body's not going to think that it's in famine or it's dying.
Right.
And you're going to let go of fat, and then you're going to be able to sustain your muscle mass. When you're starving, muscle is expendable. Your body goes, oh my God, I'm dying. Muscle actually burns calories. It eats muscle when you're starving your body. You're starving your body. That's why your body fat is so high. because your body is getting, it can't support the muscle, nor does it want to, because muscle is expendable and burns calories. If you're in a famine, the last thing you want is more fat or more muscle.
So it's not that I'm doing the wrong types of workouts. It's really about
you're not eating enough.
Got it.
You're not eating enough. So I want you to get rid of processed foods every 2 weeks, up those calories by 10%, and get yourself to where you're eating 2,000 calories a day, provided you're working out. On the days you're not working out, you can eat 1,800, because that's pretty much your number. You're like you're about 1,670 without any exercise. Okay. So I would go 2,000 on the days you work out, because I think you're a little bit above on those days. And I would go 1,800 on the days you don't. I think you're going to have a perfect break even. Do it gradually so your body doesn't go into shock every 2 weeks, up it by 10.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm going to cry because you just turned what was an awful day into something very special.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope that Janice had no part of it, though.
She had a part. I love both of you.
Oh, Meredith.
Oh, thank you,
thank
buddy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, honey, it's our pleasure. Don't worry. I know you just got out of a breakup. But it gets,
they suck, right?
They do suck so bad. But you know something? Here's what I've learned about those. Janice is looking at me.
No.
My words of wisdom.
Get
your notepad. I find that with things like that, like whether it's losing a job or breaking up with somebody, it's because that person's not right for you. Like there's somebody that's going to love you more. You may have been settling in ways you weren't aware of. It may have been a job that you weren't happy at, but you took it to pay the bills. Like I don't know the extenuating circumstances. And by the way, there are also, you know, I've had breakups where I looked at it and went, what did I learn? What did I do to end this? Maybe I wasn't vulnerable enough. Maybe I wasn't communicating enough. I took away what I thought that I needed to learn to improve the quality of my future relationships. But I also trusted that, you know, there's something in it, like it's not meant to be. Maybe I was settling. Maybe it wasn't totally right. Whatever it might be, the right person is out there. Just know that and go through what you need to go through right now. Feel the feelings, grow from it, learn from it, but have faith that, you know, you sound like a really special person, that the right person is the time's going to come.
Thank you so much. You guys are amazing. I really appreciate all the love and, you know, great energy you both put out into the world. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Have a good day.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
She said, I got to talk to Janice.
Yeah, look how big it is. I can't even fit through the door. It's just
I'm just saying, like, this is what I mean. These people want you to have a Twitter account.
What am I going to talk about?
Just say.
About walking with Leroy?
Just say I'm walking with Leroy and then take a picture and put it up there. And then just say, Leroy did something, made me laugh, had a pee squirt. And then, you know, show them your soiled pants.
That's entertaining, a pee squirt?
They love it.
And then I'm getting old lady abs?
Take a picture of those.
Oh.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what? I've really, this is a social networking thing. I got to tell you, I have experimented with all different things on there, from fitness tips to diet tips to studies that I've posted and articles. And, you know, they're like, oh, 500 likes, 600 likes. And then the minute I go on there and I'm like, I just, who knows? It's something like, I just burned dinner. 3,000 likes. People just want to, you know, they just want to connect. They just want, it's human interaction. They don't give a crap. They just don't want to connect with you. That's all. It's a desire to connect in a technical age.
Well, you're very up on it. I must admit you're very committed too.
I try.
No, you are.
I try.
You are. I hand you that.
Yeah.
I don't hand you much, but I will hand you that.
And I will take it.
And I was just going to say, just to finish off, Meredith, you said some really cool things about with the breakup. And I heard the really coolest thing the other day, that a guy said that, let's say you didn't get something, you didn't get a job or you didn't get this. And he said it's because that other person needed it more than you. And I kind of went, that was like a real light bulb. It's like, oh, God, I never thought of it that way.
I tend to think
somebody needed it more than me.
I think it's like there are things, I think about that when things get stolen.
I really do.
I do. That's what I think about when things get stolen. When I don't get an opportunity, I think of it as like rejection is God's protection. Like I think it wasn't the right gig for me. And like I didn't get this one TV show that, you know, had come before Biggest Loser. And that show is obviously no longer on the air. And ended up, had I gotten it, I couldn't have taken Biggest Loser. So I tend to think of it as like, okay, Beyonce has that song, like, "You're the best thing that never happened to me." Have you heard that song?
Yes, I have.
And I was listening to that actually on the way in here, and I was thinking, that's so genius. She just avoided a bullet. Sweeting it, you know, it's like, thank God we didn't go out. So I tend to think of that as like, rejection is God's protection. But when it comes to patience or when it comes to theft, I think like, okay, I'm waiting right now because the universe is busy facilitating people's lives that need it more than me. Or when something gets stolen from me, I'm like, okay, maybe they really needed it. Maybe they had kids to feed or who knows.
It is hard. It takes work to change your way of thinking.
Oh,
like,
sure
huge
does.
Work. But man, what a, to be powerless over it? Just go, that's incredible to me.
You try. I remember on my way home from Africa, I had like a, God, I had a flip cam, and I wouldn't be devastated about a flip cam because I know you guys are all going, you can afford a flip cam. Yes, I can. But it had our videos on it from the holiday.
For
so
sure.
I was super bummed, but I thought, you know something? I'm in friggin' Africa. If someone took a flip cam out of my bag and they get $25, think if that's going to feed their family for how long? So it's kind of like, help, you know, I was like, all right, God.
No.
This is what it is.
I know. It's all good.
Yeah. Now what? Cruise director. I wait every time I finish a segment. I'm totally decompensated. I'm like, this is the show over?
No, now.
Am I taking another call? Do we need to talk about something?
Now the show is over.
Again?
Yes. We have to end sometime. And what a wonderful call to end on with Meredith because she talked about me.
That just goes to show that maybe Meredith isn't as bright as we originally thought she was. No,
I think it's nice that it was a kind of a little bit about me. So I think we'll end it now.
We should definitely end it. If that's the direction that the show's going, I will end it.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.